So let's get into the challenge tonight. I just sang a song for you, written by Miss Nikki Lott. It's called, Hear My Lord, Send Me. And may we have that as our prayer, not only saying, Lord, have you called me? Well, yes, He has called me. It's now to ask Him, Lord, where have you called me? And what should I do while I'm there? I want to start off by just getting into the Word of God, Matthew chapter 28, and verse number 19 and 20. Entitled tonight, I utilize this message in twofold, but I want to challenge you, the church, tonight, but also I want to challenge you in the way of missions. Missions. This is not a missions meeting, but can I tell you something? If my heart is affected and my eye is affected, I will move forward. There is a passage of Scripture that says, my eye has affected my heart. So tonight, if I can show you a little bit and show you in the Scriptures with your eyes, my prayer is that it will touch your heart for missions. And not just missions in general. And when we normally think of missions, we think of world missions, like you have on the back wall and the missionaries that you support. But my friend, our mission is right here. This is your world. This is your place of evangelism. This is your place of outreach. So tonight I want to encourage you, and the Great Commission is missions.
Amen.
The Great Commission is missions. We're going to use three different passages tonight, but here in Matthew chapter 28, verse number 19, you've seen these before, and so I'm just going to read them to you, and then we'll go through it. The Bible says here in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things which I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And all of God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you lead us and guide us. Help us to draw closer to you. And dear Lord, see the great commission that is given. But dear Lord, the only way that we can truly fulfill it is to make it a mission and to get involved in the mission and missions. But Lord, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for this place. It is a special place. And Lord, may we continue to show forth its speciality in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, we love you. We praise you. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Wonderful passage of Scripture here about the Great Commission and what we're supposed to do. And missions. Because missions is the machine by which we are empowered for world evangelism. When we talk about world evangelism, we always think about the other side of the world. And we'll see that passage in just a little bit. That we are supposed to reach the other side of the world. But my friend, we're not just supposed to reach the other side of the world, we're supposed to reach our world. Well, again, that can be in the other part of the world. I know. But you and your little circle is your world. Amen?
Amen.
All those that you come in contact with is
right.
Your world.
Amen.
And but wherever it may be that you need it, that you call home, and it's part of your world. And in this world that we have, God tells us in this passage of Scripture, I want to give you three quick things as we go through it, but we're talking about the Great Commission. The Great Commission is a direct command.
Right.
The Great Commission is a charge. It's no questions asked. It's not up for debate. It's not up for us to put doubts in anybody's mind or our mind. God has told us in the Great Commission for the mission.
Amen.
If tonight we were to gather together and have this as a military gathering, and I pulled down the screen over here of a map and saying that we're going to get ready to take over Waynesboro. We have a military plan. We're going to send Brother Roy on the south side. And Brother Roy and his team from the south side are going to move up. And then we're going to flank the town by sending Pastor coming in from the east. East, amen. East coming over. And we're going to send Brother Stephen and his team. His whole family, that's enough of a team anyways, amen. We're going to send him coming in from the west. And since Brother Holtzclaw lives up north above us in Lancaster, we're going to let Brother Holtzclaw and whoever he comes and can get to ride on in like the cavalry and clean everything up in the end. Amen. I like that. Do you like that? There's our plan. Now, you may be asking, So what are you talking about that in regards to missions? Well, as a military general who's planning on taking over a town, he has to lay out a plan. And as he lays out a plan with his little generals and or his captains and his lieutenants and then to the sergeants and then forth, so forth and so on. A major's tossed in there somewhere too, amen? And so he's got all these guys lined up and he's got them around him. He shares it with the upper brass. Then they share it with the lower brass who shares it down with the grunts. Is that right? That's how it's done. The grunt doesn't come up and say, well, I don't think I want to do this. He takes the command because there are those which are above him that have examined everything and have moved forward. It's not to question why, but to do or die. Amen? That's the motto, the military motto. So, hey, we need to have that. We ought to question God and what He wants us to do. We ought to question His purpose and His plan that He has laid out before the foundation of the world and 2,000 years ago had sent His Son to fulfill.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
And so now we His children, now we His soldiers of the Lord, we sing that little song, don't we? Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. Amen? With a song of victory. Amen? Moving on before. And my friend, we need to be marching on before. Marching on. Marching on. For Christ count everything but what?
Lost.
And to crown Him King will toil and sing beneath the banner of the cross. And my friend, we have a royal banner that we're following today. And the Lord has given us a command. A command that's not optional. But we, through time, have made it more optional than what it really is.
Right.
Folks have come along and have turned this command, this commission given unto us, into a suggestion. It's just a suggestion. And you know, if it's really not for me, then really, it's not something that I really need to follow. I think the Lord give me an out. Can I tell you something? That's how it is in the military today, too. There's so many folks that have gotten in the military and they realize that, oh, this just isn't for me. They find a way to get out instead of following and moving forward and doing what God's commanded us to do. And we as children, if we want to fill this place up and if we want to take over Waynesboro for the Lord Jesus Christ and shine the light of the gospel throughout all the neighborhoods and especially this one that's right next door, we have to jump on board to the mission that is set before us, and the mission is the Great Commission. Here, back to our passage of Scripture. I want to show you. Number one is Matthew 28, 19 and 20. That's number one. But here's my sub-point A. First of all, I want you to see that it is a priority call. It's a priority call. Meaning that God's given us our great commander, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking here, the captain of our army. He's giving us a priority task. This is not just a regular task. This is not just a regular thing that we ought to do on a regular basis. This is a priority one. This should be a uno numero number one. Amen. Try to get that out there real fast. And tie it up. But we need to get out there. So it's a priority call. And by that he means go. Go. I remember as a kid we would have races and we'd always have someone on the side and we had to get someone on the side because if it was one of us that were racing, we would cheat. Because we would know when we were going to say the word, what? Go. And right? We say, when I count to three, we're going to go. Ready? One, three, go! So we had somebody sit on the side and he would count. Ready? Set? Go! And my friend, when the word was go, the gun would go off, we know that was our time to act. It's a priority. And God's told us in this passage that we must act and move and go. It's a priority call. It's high on the list. It's not something that's down on the bottom shelf that we are supposed to forget. But many times we forget. Our churches today are don't hardly preach this anymore, but other than for giving resources for missions and talking about others going. But my friend, the priority is for me, just like the song. It's so many times I've heard this, but I always thought it was for somebody else. But this time he says, or she says, Miss Nikki, hear my Lord. Hear my Lord. Send me. And so, my friend, we are to go. The word here for the priority call, or the word go, is poryoomahi. Big long word for two letters, amen? Bro, I'm not a Greek student, scholar. I just can just read what it says in the phonetics here. P-O-R-Y-O-O with a little hyphen, O-M-A-H-E-E. There you go. It means to traverse. To travel, especially to move, to depart, to go away, to go forth, to go one's way, to go up. To make a, or to take a journey, a.k.a., comma, to walk. That's what that word means, go. The word go means to use those little two tiny feet that you've got, whether they're pretty or they're very not pretty, amen. God wants us to use them to go. So use your two little feet and carry the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a priority call that we are supposed to go. Secondly, I want you to see, it's a personal call. It's a personal call. And that next little word there, go who? Go ye.
Amen.
It's a personal call. But it's a personal call, meaning that it's for one person. And can I tell you something? This call isn't for one person. It is for you, person. Personally, for you. You are called. I'm called. We are called to go. Go ye. Some people think that this is not just for, this is for somebody else. No, no, no. This is for everyone. People think, oh, it's not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Well, it is my brother and it is my sister, and we all are to be in the need of prayer to go. It's personal. It is personal. It is our responsibility. It is our accountability. And there is no retractability. Didn't he say that again? Did you catch that?
That's right.
I thought I'd use some big words for those that need big words. It is your responsibility.
Amen.
It is now your accountability. Amen. And there is no retractability.
That's right.
A lot of verses. Mark 16:15 said, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10. Let's go ahead and turn there. In 2 Timothy, hold your place here. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10. He says this. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10. In case you're wondering, it's after 1 Timothy. You'll find 2 Timothy. He says, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Lord Jesus, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto Paul says, I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Can I tell you something, my friend? That day is the coming of the Lord. That day is when we see the Lord. That day is when our soul is required in death or in the rapture, the resurrection, that we become accountable for the things that we have done and that we have done for the Lord.
Right.
And can I tell you something, my friend? It is our responsibility. To him, much is given.
Much is required.
And you have been given much. How do you know? For the past 5 years, I've been given some of it. Amen. I know what I've been giving you. I don't know what else pastor gives you, but I know what I've been giving you. But I know what he's been giving you. And so there is responsibility. Then there's the accountability for I know it, I should do it. And there is no retractability. For him that knoweth to do good and doeth to not, to him it is sin. And so Paul here says, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the Lord. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of my calling. He was willing to tell anybody and everybody There was a time that he was there preaching to the Jews, and they all riled up against him. Peter. Paul was there, and they were all riled up. These Jews were riled up against him. So much so that they were going to stone him and kill him. But the Roman guards saw what was going in, and they came rushing in and encircled Paul to get him out. And what does Paul do? Paul stops them, and he starts preaching unto the Jews. So why did he do that for? Because he had an opportunity. He had bodyguards now. And he preached. On how? On that one day, when he was walking on the road to Damascus, he saw the light.
Amen.
Meaning he really saw the light, amen? And he was born again. And so my friend, it's a personal call. It is a call that we have to answer for. And one day, my friend, and can I tell you something? The priority call is given. That personal call is on your phone. Pick it up, answer it. Because it is a personal call. Thirdly, it's a positional call. It's a positional call. He says, go ye therefore and what? Teach who? All nations.
Right.
All nations.
That's right.
And can I tell you some positional means that we ought to go everywhere. To all people. To all races. To all languages. To all cultures. And to all places. Mark 16:15 again says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Luke 14:23, and the Lord said unto his servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be full.
Amen.
You know, if I were to go back and read that passage there in Luke and go back and forth, the Lord says, go out and beckon people to come to the marriage supper. Beg them to come. I'm having a great supper. Beg them to come. And they begin to give excuse. Some began to give excuse. Hey, I just bought a horse and I got to go prove it. I just bought some land and I got to go see what it is. Amen. All these little things. I just got married, therefore I cannot come. I have a wife, therefore I cannot come. You already henpecked. Goodness gracious, guy. But can I tell you something here, my friend? Hey, he said unto them, those oaks couldn't come. He told his servants now to go into the highways and hedges to get the lame, get the halt, and bring them in that my house may be filled. And tell you something, God wants his house filled.
Yes.
God wants his house filled. And we might have already been to the houses that we think that we know are the houses that we are supposed to go to. But now we need to go to houses that we thought we weren't supposed to go to. Because those are the ones the Lord wants to come. Well, I've already asked all my family, but they give me excuses. Okay, just like these others. Did you go to the highways and hedges? Did you go to your neighbors? Did you go to your neighbor's neighbor? Did you go to neighbor, neighbor, neighbor? Did you go to your neighbor, neighbor, neighbor? Did you go to your neighbor's cousin's neighbor? Did you go to your neighbor's cousin? From one side of town to the other, to the north, south, east, west. We've got to take this town for Jesus. Because there's a position.
Amen.
There's a position. There's a place.
Amen.
I gotta tell you something. Hey, God may not be calling you to be like the Holtzclaw family and stretch your legs a little bit and get out and go up and down the East Coast. And now we're beginning to cross the coast over to the Well, hey, I got a preacher friend of mine who wants me to help start churches in Mississippi. And can I tell you something? What they need is some good churches.
Amen.
What they need is some soul winners. What they need. And God's opened doors for us to stretch our legs and go a little bit further. But can I tell you something? God doesn't call everyone into that ministry. God doesn't call everyone to be a pastor. But He has given us the call to go to the world that we're at. Amen, Brother Holtzclaw. That's right. That's good preaching right there. Hallelujah, Brother Holtzclaw. Let's go.
Amen.
Let's go now. Well, not yet. We got to have the invitation first, okay? Got to have the invitation first. But next, I want you to see it's also a purposeful call. A purposeful call. Purposeful call that we are to go and to teach and preach.
That's right.
We're to go and to teach and preach to them the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me get you over to the second passage that I have, Romans chapter number 10 and verse 14. This should go pretty quick. In Romans chapter number 10. We can read verse 13. We can even read before that. Verse number 9 and read all the way down. and talking about the closing of the gospel as we are drawing the net after I have thrown it out there to for people that I've talked to about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I told them, hey, God did His part by providing His Son for you, and Jesus came and bled and died for you so that you can have eternal life. So if God did His part and Jesus did His part, whose part's left?
That's right.
Well, mine. Absolutely. So let's see what you, the sinner, are supposed to do. And in drawing the net, I often bring them back to this passage of Scripture. In verse number 9, that if thou shalt confess with the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Say amen right there.
Amen.
For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be what?
Ashamed.
Shall not be a what?
Ashamed.
Let it ring. Shall not be what?
Shame.
For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich in all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And now we tell them about the Lord and we tell them how to get saved. But on top of that now, we have a purpose to teach, to preach, to baptize, and then to disciple them and to send them.
That's right.
That's our duty. But here in this passage of Scripture, after they called upon the name of the Lord, verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But Paul brings this question to Romans, and he says, how then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?
That's right.
I gave you this illustration years ago, but I'm going to give it to you again. Hey, two guys in the back row, can I borrow you for a minute?
Come on up.
Yeah.
Me?
Yeah, come on up.
Me both. One of you bring your Bible. Good deal. Okay. Since the spiritual one brought the Bible, let's stand on this side. And right there. You got a dip, okay? This guy here is the messenger. Amen? This is God's plan for us to give the gospel to them. So you're not saved. You're the lost, dying world. That's what you're not bringing the Bible. So what does that passage say? How then shall what? They hear in Him of whom they have not believed, and how shall they have not heard, and how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a
preacher.
Hey, look at the preacher's part. Amen. And glasses and everything, just like mine. Something like that. Yeah, oh goodness. Prophecy right here. Prophetic time. Oh no, I'm kidding.
But we are all messengers. God called us all to go. God called us all as a priority call and a personal call and a positional call. And He's called us all now for the purpose. We have a purpose.
That's right.
And that purpose is that we are all the messengers.
Amen.
But see, I know again, let me go. I'll put my finger right where you are so you won't lose your spot there. Okay, let's keep it. So God has written a letter. He's written us a love letter.
Yes, sir.
A love letter about life and a love letter about death. He taught us in His Word how we're supposed to live. He taught us how we're supposed to die. He's even showed us how we're going to live again.
Amen.
Amen. And He wrote it to all of us, including them.
That's right.
But now He's given it to us, as I am now going to give it over to my messenger, for Him to now take this letter over to them.
Amen.
But many times, as the message is given to the messenger, there have been messengers that have said,
come on.
The messengers say, not today. Can you imagine? The Lord God Almighty coming to His messenger and going to one of His angels and said, angel, I want you to go down and talk to Pastor Music, and I want you to give him a message for his people this week. And the angel says, nah, I'm going swimming. But angel, I have a great message for the people of God there at Antrim Faith Baptist Church, and it is your duty to carry the message. I know, but you know what? I think I'm going to go fishing while I'm out there. No, God, I can't do that. I think I'm going to watch Andy Griffith show tonight. What do you think God would do to that angel?
First of all, an angel would never do that because he is a messenger. But we are not as earthly messengers. And how many times have we told God no?
Come on.
Can I give you another illustration? It's just like the mailman coming to your house and not picking up your mail. Or the mail lady, the mail carrier. So here you've got a bill. You got a bill for your car. And you write out the bill, and you write it. You don't like writing, but you write it out, and you stuff it in the envelope, and you put it in the mailbox, and you put the flag up, and here comes the mailman or mail carrier walking by and opens up your mailbox and looks in there and says, hey, and he closes it right back and puts the flag down and keeps on going. You come out to your mailbox, and you open the mailbox, oh, I got mail. You open it up, you're not even looking. You ever You gather all the mail again, and next, before you know it, everything's ripped open, and you're like, hey, I got a check. Look at that. I got a check in the mail. It's for my car loan. It didn't make it out. It's from me. To the car people. Oh! So you stick it back in the envelope, you tape it up again because you didn't even use the stamp and you're kind of upset. So you get out there and you put it in the mailbox again, you close the door and you put the flag up and you wait for the next day. The next day comes out and you're excited and you flag down and you go out and you pull the mail and you got the mail again. Well, this one feels kind of weird. It's kind of hard. Hey, let's say, hey! Hey, take my mail again! So you put out the third day, and after the third day, you're sitting out there waiting for that mail carrier. And that mail carrier comes up, and he puts the flag, closes the door, and puts the flag down, and starts running away. He said, hey, Mr. Mail Carrier, how can you keep looking at my mail? He gives an excuse. He gives a silly excuse. That's you that you look at and you say, it can't be right. Please, your job is to carry the mail. And if a mailman did that to you, what would you would, that'd be your first thing to ask him why he's not doing it. The second thing, you're going to call the postmaster. Yeah. You're going to report that person. If they keep it up again, they'd probably be without a job. Yeah. It's an important job. That's a federal government job.
Right.
But our job's more important.
Amen.
It's a heavenly government job,
amen,
my friend. We have a job that's given unto us to do, and we are to take His message, and we're not supposed to give excuse. We're supposed to go. It's personal. And so now we've got the message. So the messenger now carries it by feet, go by the feet, over to this guy over here, and he shares the message to them. And how shall they hear without a preacher? What does it say? And how beautiful are the feet of them which carry the gospel of peace. The news of glad tidings, amen, of peace. And so now he's carried the message, and he's carried the message to this one. And this one says, I've been waiting for this message for a long time. Where have you been? And from Faith Baptist Church, I knew you were around, but I've been waiting for someone to come knock on my door. So finally knocks on the door, and he gives them the gospel, and he asks Jesus Christ to come into the heart. And guess what he does? It's as if he takes the message down. You move your finger out of it. Oh,
yeah.
That's okay. Although he still has the duty to continue to carry the message of the Lord. Now this guy has the duty too.
Amen.
And then it's passed along. And passed on to the Bible. There you go. This guy's an answer. Good job, guys.
That's our duty. That's our purpose. That's our to go and to share and to tell and to disciple to share with others. But now go to Acts chapter 1. Oh, there's the last one. I'm sorry. The last one to this is that there's a promised call. There's a promised call. And that promised call there in Matthew chapter 28, verse number 20. And he says, lo, I am with you.
That's right.
Always.
Amen.
You never go alone. It's the same illustration. But here the messenger doesn't go to the guy that's them and they alone.
You've got God with him.
You've got God on your side. Well, God's on your side, man. You can just put those shoulders back and go.
There's some guys that I go soul winning with. There's a guy, a former sheriff. He's still a sheriff. He hasn't quite been released yet from being a sheriff, but he's a former sheriff. His duties for the sheriff was to go get the bad guys that were skipping bail. Okay? He gets them. But this guy's like this, and he's broad shoulder. He's just as solid as can be. And can I tell you something? Between he and his brother, who's a little taller, who's a sergeant, I like going soul winning with those guys.
I feel like a little kid when I buy them.
He's with me.
And they say, I'm going to call the police.
And either one of them say, I'm already here.
Amen.
I am.
I'm going to call the authorities.
There's no higher authority than God, my friend.
That's right.
For you to call. And so we have the Lord with us. And so we have this promise to us.
Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts 1, verse 8. And I'm closing. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." This is the Great Commission for world missions too. He says, first of all, we're going to receive power. And my friend, when you have the power, you have, meaning that you have the authority, meaning that you have a supernatural moving. Break that word up and you look at it in the Greek there. I looked it up. And it's the word dunamis, meaning the force, the miraculous power. It is the ability, the abundance, the meaning, the might or mighty deeds and the workers of miracles, of the power and strength, mighty, wonderful work. That's what it means. Dunamis is the word by which we get into our English language, the word dynamite.
Amen.
It does some powerful stuff. You want to move a mountain? Just get some more dynamite. You say, "Mountain be removed." You get enough dynamite, you'll blow that mountain up.
Yeah.
It has done a marvelous work, a miraculous work. Can I tell you something? Hey, if we give our heart to God and He's already working in us, we already have the moving of the Holy Spirit. We already have His calling. We already have that power in us. All we have to do is just yield to it and then to go. There's the power. And says, "Well, I don't know if I should." Why? Because I just don't know if I'm allowed. Can I tell you something? You have God's permission. Your authority has already been given to you. It's written in red.
That's right.
By the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is the working of the Holy Spirit of God upon our heart. So we have power. Not only have power, we have purpose. "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses." Our purpose is to be a witnesses unto me, He says. We're not supposed to be a witness to God. We're a witness unto God for Him.
We are here to give testimony.
Amen.
We are here to testify.
Amen.
Can I get a witness there?
Amen.
That's our job. So I don't think I can do that. No, you cannot do that.
You can't do it alone. But under the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will have what you need at that moment to get the job done. We have a purpose. To be a witness of the life of Christ. We have a purpose to be a witness of the death of Christ. We have a purpose to be a witness of the resurrection of Christ. To be a witness of the salvation of Christ. To be a witness of the new life in Christ. But not only just a purpose, but we also have the place. Again, unto all the world. But more specifically, he's saying here in this passage, he's telling all of us that we ought to go to our Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria. And my friend, that is our country. To the Jews, that was their capital. But not their capital only. But it might have been where they lived. But the places that we really did not want to go, the Jews didn't want to go to the Samaritans, but that's where we're supposed to go.
But also to all Judea. All the Jews. And for us, all America. All America. Well, I just can't find anybody to talk to. You can't find somebody to talk to in all America?
Come on.
You know, there's 320 million people in America. You know, from Washington, D.C. up to Maine, there's 80 million there. 80 million there. That's a quarter of the population is from Washington, D.C. up. And we can't find someone to talk to about the Lord Jesus Christ. Either you're not trying hard enough, or just don't want to.
Bottom line comes down to, we talk of the great wonders and miracles of times past and how God is leading. Oh, my friend, we need to share that. We need to get it out. Turn to 2 Corinthians. No, don't turn. Let me read it to you. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 and 4 says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Oh, my friend, we have to get out there. We have to go tell people. We've got to help them in the Lord and praise the Lord for a pastor who has a burden for visitation and a pastor who has a burden for missions, and praise the Lord for those which have been behind them and those which are behind the church and behind the workings of the Lord and continuing the things moving forward. Thank God we're where you are.
Amen.
Thank God where He has led you. And God has you here for a purpose. And God has you here for a plan. Because there's a personal call.
Amen? That's right.
There's a personal call. And it's given right to you. And this call is ringing. Hey, your phone's ringing. Pick it up.
Amen.
It's the Lord. This is a priority. And He wants to talk to you. And He wants you to go to tell people about Jesus. We've got to get out there. We want this world to be made right. We've got to go out there and do the right thing. Maggie and I were down in Florida just recently, knocking on doors for a struggling church down there. God bless. We went to an address that was on our card, and we got to that address and we knocked on the door. How many times that happened? 3-4 times. Person comes to the door. There's no such person like that this year. You know, he said, "Well, thank you very much," and then walked away. We didn't do that. We're not going to do that. Once there's such a door, we walked out in the door, and this lady came to the door, and she wasn't dressed fully appropriately, and I'm kind of like, man, we were here looking for this lady, and want to know if she's here from behind the door. She says, "No, she doesn't live here." "Do you know who she is?" "No, I have no idea who she is." "Well, ma'am, we had talked to her, somebody had talked to her about the Lord, about going to heaven, and I just wanted to ask you too, and find out if you were going to heaven, and if we could take a moment to show you the Bible." I mean, you see over her shoulder, there was an older lady, grandma, that was sitting, laying on the couch. And then a teenage boy walked by, and some others walked by, and I said, "Okay." I said, "Ma'am, I love the show." And she said, "Yes, we'd like to do that. So just give me a minute, and I'll get ready." So she closed the door, and kind of right beside me, the assistant pastor by the window, he says, "I think we found a gold mine." She came back. They're from Haiti. They live in the States for about 15 years. Opened up the Word of God. They went. My old grandma pulled out a Haitian Bible. She was going to the Haitian church. And they were interpreting for her a little bit. She understood what I was saying, but when I read the scriptures, they would tell her in the Haitian language where to find it in her Bible. And at the end, the lady at the door got saved.
Amen.
Her mom, called grandma, but her mom got saved. This lady's sister got saved, was there. And then she had 3 teenage children. And they all 3 got saved.
Amen.
6 got saved, 1 house. We left there by the windows of Simon. He said, "Praise the Lord, glory to God, hallelujah." And a little while later, another time, we got to see a couple teenage girls sitting outside their house in a car underneath a street light, got to lead them to the Lord. A little while later, another one of the guys that was with us in the team, he led a guy to the Lord. Oh, it's Saturday now. Brother Wendell, the assistant pastor here, he was like, "Oh, and it's my birthday. I'm praying to the Lord will give me one." He wanted one. He would talk to a stump. If you knew a stump, you'd get saved. But he went out. And Maggie was his partner. And sure enough, he found this young man, but that middle-aged man, and started talking to him about the Lord. And he got saved. Oh, Brother Wendell was so excited in the Lord. He was so excited. "I pray that God will give me one. I have gone all week without seeing someone say, 'You saw one, you saw one, you saw one. I wanted one.'"
Amen.
I wanted one. Because if you want you one, you can get you one. Because we have a primary call. And a personal call. A positional call. And we have a personal call. And a place. All we have to do is just apply it. And go. And keep walking. And keep sharing. This guy doesn't want it. There's another one right behind it. There's a lady right beside that one. There's a teenager over here that needs the Lord. I drove through Waynesboro the other day. I'm kind of like, crazy people around here.
Yeah.
Crazy teenagers, crazy this, crazy that. I knew that. They need the Lord. They need someone to stop and show them. So why not you? Let's pray, shall we? Let's bow our eyes closed. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you, Lord, for tonight. Pray, Lord, you lead us and guide us. Help us to be more like thee. And Lord, help us to heed your call tonight. Lord, help us that we would go. and be that missionary right here where You have called us to be. And Lord, continue to bless this church for You. We love You. We praise You. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Will You join me in standing? You join me in standing. Each night I've asked you if you were saved, and this is the same group from last night. And you've raised your hand, and I'm sure you'd raise your hand again, but I don't want to be remiss. Who tonight would say, Brother Holzclaw, I do not know if I were to die today that I'd go to heaven. I do not know, but I sure would like to know. I'd like to know this Jesus that you've been talking about. Here's my hand. Here's my hand all across the room. Brother Holzclaw, I do not know, but I sure would like to know. That's what I thought. But you don't have to raise your hand for this one, but I'll ask you. Who tonight would understand and say, Brother Holzclaw, I see what you mean tonight, and that we are all messengers,
amen,
and that we are all supposed to go, and that we're all supposed to tell. I'm sure you'd raise your hand. And so we all should. But here's my question. Are you going? Why aren't you going? And my friend, if you are going, keep going. Amen. And ask God to give you more boldness, more fullness, and more of a challenge to do more for Jesus and bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. God laid someone upon your heart tonight that you can talk to? How about, Lord, provide someone for me to talk to this week for the Lord Jesus Christ. As the music begins to play,